about to let us down now. He has been so good to us. In the book of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, if you'd like to open your Bibles there. And I didn't know Jim and Elaine was going to be here this morning. But this message that God has laid on my heart, I brought this message at a revival down at Community Missionary Baptist Church. When Brother Jim was pastor there, we was there in a revival. And they preached us so hard that, Sunday I had to go up to Cornbread Road, and I was supposed to preach there at their homecoming, and I didn't even have a voice. And some of you say, amen. But I didn't even have a voice. But God blessed. And we had a good time. And it goes with the testimonies this morning and with the songs. But in the book of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, the faith chapter, reading verses 13 through 16 today, says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." And stop reading there in that 16th verse. And today I'd like to bring you a message entitled, "We're Pilgrims and Strangers in a Strange Land, Headed Home." Headed home. This world is not our home. In fact, I am feeling more like a pilgrim and a stranger every passing day. This world has become so cruel and so much hatred that there is in our land, and so much that is coming against the body of Christ, that at times I get depressed. And I'm just preaching to you this morning. Sometimes I get so frustrated that I become angry. And then other times I become so grieved that it just breaks my heart to look and see what's happening in our land that our forefathers fought for, many that gave their life that we could have the freedoms and that we enjoy today. And now we see that many of the monuments and statues that are being destroyed across our land, and things that men and women fought for and gave their life for, worked themselves to death, is now being destroyed. And folks would say, "Well, this world belongs to God. Why isn't God doing something about it?" And I want to bring to you this morning a very factual point from the Scriptures of God, that this world does not belong to God. Adam lost the world when he and Eve sinned in the garden. He gave up the world and its dominion back to Satan. And God cast him out of the garden. But what Adam lost, you say, what about when Jesus came? The second Adam came to give us victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Some would say that when Jesus came, he took the world back away from Adam. But no, he came to build a bridge. Hallelujah. To get us from this life to the next life. Egypt was not our forefathers' home. He brought them out of that land to a land that flowed with milk and honey. and gave them the victory over the inhabitants as they traveled through it. But even as they went to that land, the Lord told them, I've got a better place for you when your life comes to an end. This world belongs to Satan. And folks, it is showing so clearly every day that he is in charge of this world by the actions of people that they are taking. And the scripture says, for Peter said it like this, that in the last days Satan shall go to and fro like a roaring lion, devouring whom he may. And I've come this morning to tell you with sadness in my heart, he's gotten some of mine. He's gotten some of yours. And he is getting them by just the masses that are calling and falling into the hands of Satan and all that he is doing in our land and around the world today. We are seeing today that God, I believe with all my heart, let me say it like this, Jesus, I believe with all my heart, is standing there next to the Father, ready to come at any minute to gather his church and take it out of this sin-filled world. In fact, the world belongs to Satan. Christ, God, has only got one thing in this world, and that is the church. That is the church, you say. But what about us? We are the church today. The church of baptized believers. How many of you remember when you was baptized with the fire and the Holy Ghost and how it came down, took you out of a sin-filled world and made you a fit subject for the kingdom of God? I am not a lost man anymore. I've been saved by the grace of God, and I'm headed to that place that he's prepared for me. But while I'm here, I've got to step in the mud puddles. I've got to walk through the troubles and trials. I've got to face a lot of disappointments. But church, just like me, I want you to know this morning, there's a better day coming when the trumpet sounds and time shall be no more. We are pilgrims and strangers in a strange land, but we are headed home. How many of you today could see the lights of home? Oh, I had to testify for a little bit. Many years ago, Becky and I, on a trip for the company, we traveled from California, Los Angeles, back here. We had to go through Nevada and go through Las Vegas. And we were several hundred miles or more away from Las Vegas. But because of the brightness of that city, we could see it and we thought we was almost there. But we were still a long way off. I've given you that example this morning to tell you some days I can see plainly the lights of home. And I don't know how close I am right now. But how many of you like me? I'm sick of this world. And if God was to call for a great going home, I'm ready. I'm packed up and I'm waiting for the call for me to go. Abraham and his all Moses and all of them today, they knew this world was just a temporal place. We're going to lay down this temporal body and pick up a celestial body. We're going to lay down these tents that we live in. And Brother Ray, some might dispute me and say, well, they're not called tents anymore. They're houses. But Tara testified that every place you and I live, it is decaying and falling down right around us. But I've got a better home on the other side where the thief can't break through and steal and moth and rust cannot corrupt it. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun that is waiting for us. And when we get there, we'll have no more pain or sorrow. We'll have no more days of frustration and anger, but we'll rejoice in Christ the Lord, our Savior. Some say that when they got to Canaan land, they had houses to live in. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know if I've got a mansion on the hills of glory. I preached a message many years ago about that. You know, this body is referred to as our home. How many of you got your house caving in? Oh, some of you don't want to confess. This house is falling apart. Some days I like to think that I'm as good as I ever was, but then reality sets in and reminds me that the pains and the aches that I never experienced before is signs that my house is decaying and it's about to come to an end. But don't you cry for me, don't you weep for me, and don't you worry for me, because Brother Ron, I've got a better home waiting on the other side, where I'll run and not grow weary, I'll soar as an eagle, I'll sing while the ages roll on, and my voice will never get weak, it will never fail me, I'll never be off pitch or singing like some mad person, but I'll be singing praises unto the Lamb of God that saved me and kept me by His marvelous power. God has prepared a place for us. I don't know if we got a mansion over there. I don't know what we all have. I know we're going to eat. But I do feel this with all my heart. I could have a tent over there pitched on the hills of glory. I could be living on a gravel road. I could have just morsels to eat, but that's not what excites me. I could have a big mansion. Emerson, I don't know. But when I get there, the mansion ain't going to excite me. You know what's going to excite me about heaven? I finally lay down my cross on this side. I lay down this frail body on this side. I picked up a robe and a crown, and I moved into a brand new house that I will never have to worry about moving again. Amen. Amen. They saw it afar off and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. How many of you feel out of place today? I feel so out of place. I'm walking around people and we think we know people and we really don't know people. You've heard me say this many times over the years. Sometimes we call people our friends, and they're really not our friends. They're just acquaintances. They're nothing more than that. But folks, sometimes I walk around here and I think, Lord, how much longer are you going to put up with all this nonsense? How much longer? I have never seen a time like we're living in right now. Never seen a time when people were so angry and just so mad and so violent. Folks, let me, and I'm trying not to be political this morning. It's okay to protest. It's not okay to destroy things that men and women have worked for all their life, and you destroy it to where they now lost it all. Nor is it okay for you to say this sect of people need to have reparations for what happened hundreds of years ago. Folks, I was not a slave owner. My parents weren't a slave owner. And I just want to go even further. None of these today were ever slaves. None of them. But all of us was once a slave to sin and the love and practice of it. I almost feel like shouting on a Sunday morning. But how many of us know that even though Satan had us locked up, Jesus come to set us free. And He said, if I set you free, you are free indeed forevermore. We're pilgrims and strangers. I know people that live like they're going to be here forever. They live like they're going to live forever, with no worry about the future. The Bible teaches us you better get your house in order. You better get your house in order. Because we know not the hour that the Son of God is coming in the clouds of glory. But I look around us and everything, the writing and all this is taking place, and it's not just the historical facts of our country, but now they're even attacking churches and attacking. Some of them said that if Jesus was to come, they'd kill him again. I've got news for them. The first time he came as a lamb. Next time he comes, he's coming as a lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's not coming to set up a kingdom. He's already got a kingdom. And the kingdoms of this world cannot prevail against him. He's got a kingdom. The first time he come as a sacrifice to make a way for you and I. And I praise him this morning as Tara was singing that song. I don't praise him so much that I've got a roof over my head and shoes on my feet and clothes on my back and food on my table. You know why I praise him? Because I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, hallelujah. I once was a pilgrim and a stranger in a strange land. And he gave me a promise. One day I'll call and I'm not gonna kill you. I'm just gonna transplant you. I'm gonna pick you up from this veil of sorrows, and I'm gonna take you on home to be with me. What a day that will be. With my Jesus I shall see. And I praise him for getting me through all these circumstances on this world. But he said, they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Folks, don't ever be apologetic that you're a pilgrim and a stranger. Don't ever be apologetic. There are some that say, we want you to apologize for what you are and all the things that happened. Folks, let me tell you, many of us grew up poor. I was telling a guy on Friday at work, he was talking about things, how people make fun, and he said something, and I said, well, I've been called a lot worse. You know, all my life we were picked on because we didn't dress like everybody else. We didn't live in the neighborhoods that everybody else lived in. Most of the time we lived in shanties that Dad would rent, and then we'd have to go in and clean them up, paint them, and get them to where they was even fit to live in. And until I was right at 12 years old, up to the time I was 12 years old, we had an outside bathroom. We didn't even have inside plumbing. Everything that we got in life, we worked for it. It wasn't given to us. In fact, most of the time, they just call us white trash. Yeah. Or they call us trailer park trash. And they pick on us. But you know what? All of the time, I was able to hold up my head and say, that's what you see me as now. But oh, wait for the day. Hallelujah. You wait for the day that God says he will esteem us and lift us up. Has he brought anybody else out of the dungeon? Set your feet upon a solid foundation and establish you and said, you may have been a loser, but I'm going to make you a winner. You may have been downtrodden, but I'm going to lift you up in that mountain that you're walking on now. I'm going to bring it down to where it's level walking ground. And ever since then, I've been able to hold my head up high, not because of who I am, but because of him that lives in me, that took a pilgrim and gave him a hope of a better tomorrow. And folks, I've got to preach this message this morning. I'm not done yet. One day, he's going to call Jim Phillips, and I'm going to lay down my cross and my crown, and I'm going to pick up a glorified body, and I'll be found singing and shouting on the hills of glory when this life shall come to an end. Some of y'all haven't been to church yet. You wait till we get there. We won't be preaching to lost people. We won't be preaching about how bad the world is. We'll be saying that song, maybe, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I am found. By the grace of God, he's given us a better hope for tomorrow than we have today. Everything you have, somebody else is going to get. Except for that good part. Brother Lloyd, they may come. You know, we're heading. I don't know if you follow the news or in the current events of everything that's going on. We're moving toward a cashless society. Some of you say, oh, Roger, that's not such a big deal. Read the book. We're moving toward a new world order. I was scared when the European Union all came together, and I thought, Lord, this is a sign. But it's dissolved. They're breaking away from it. But now we're seeing where everything you and I have, with just a push of a button, can be taken away. Some of you say, oh, I got mine in stocks and bonds. I've got mine in treasury notes. I've got mine in a safety deposit box. Maybe got them like Granny, buried in a jar in the backyard. But when cash is no longer useful, it's useless. And with the push of a button, everything you and I have can be taken away and given to another. This is true. And it's the warning from the grand book. You see, I went back and I studied this morning in Deuteronomy and Numbers. You know what the Bible says back there is that Jesus or God told them, when you go into these lands, don't you touch those strange daughters. Don't let your sons marry them. And don't let your daughters marry their men. Stay away from them. Mark yourselves. And don't take them in. Today we're living in a society where they don't even get married now. They just jack up. And everything and anything goes. Can I preach this morning? I would rather see, and God knows my heart, and I know some of you grew up in era of time just like I did, but I would rather see my sons or daughters marry a girl or a son of the opposite race than I had to see them girls with girls and boys with boys. Now, that takes a lot for me to say that this morning. You say, why does it take such a... Because God told them, marry within your own tribes. Some of you are getting quiet because you don't know which way the pastor's going to go on a Sunday morning. But it's true. It's scriptural. But the homosexuality and the lesbians, God said it's an abomination. In fact, in the Old Testament, when he gave out the law, he said, if a man lie with a man, he shall be put to death. Look what's happening in Satan's world today. He's not just allowing it to happen. He's rubbing it in our noses. Of all the things that he's allowing to go on. People say, well, why don't God stop it? Because God has got a better day. And God is not going to change his plan to try to make this world better for you and I. I didn't know I was going to preach all this, Brother Ron, but it's good. This world, he is not going to change it just because, and I know Scripture says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and ask God for forgiveness, and I'm paraphrasing, God will hear their prayers and he will save them. He will change their world. He will change our country. But let me tell you, God can only do what you and I allow him to do in our hearts and in our lives today. We can't say, God bless us, and then go out and curse like a sailor, go out and speak profanity and all kinds of sin, and still expect God to hear our prayers. You ain't heard a message like this in a while, have you? We want to be God's people and live like the world. God called us out from the world. He said, you know what happens to pilgrims and strangers after a while? They get comfortable. How many of the children of Israel just said, let's just stay here? How many of them said, we can't go into that land because they're bigger than we are? We're like grasshoppers. How many of them said, no, it just ain't worth it anymore? I believe we got Christians, people that's been saved by God's grace, that have just given up. Let me tell you this morning, now is not a time to give up. Now is a time that we take the word of God and we encourage ourselves like David of old did. And we say, Lord, it might be dark now, but the sun is going to shine in the morning. And it's going to get better. Not in this life, but praise God, in the life to come, I've got something waiting over there that I don't have here. You say, what have you got? How many of you got loved ones waiting on you on the other side? How many of you got a Savior that's waiting for you over there? How many of us have got a King of Kings and Lord of Lords waiting for us? And our fine, I'm not going to walk in. I'm trying to find a hushing place, you deacons. But I'm not going to walk in with my head down and say, well, I finally made it home. No, sir, I'm going to walk in with my head up high and say, by the grace of God, I finally made it to my destination. And I'm going to shout like I've never shouted before. I'm going to praise Him like I've never praised Him before. And some of you say, I don't know about that kind of action today. Let me tell you, when you get there and you see Him that died for your sins, you will praise Him like you've never praised Him before. We are pilgrims and strangers here. And we declare plainly that we seek a country. We're not going to an imaginary place. There are those that say that when we die, we're just like a dog or a cow. We just go back to the dust. But you see, when God made man, He made him different than He made everything else. Because God, Brother Ron, breathed into man. Oh. And He made him a living soul. You say, but you're going to die. You're going to a funeral tonight. The body might die, but the soul never dies. And people say, well, I'm thankful God saved me because now I shall live eternally. Folks, whether you're saved or lost, you're going to live eternally. You get to pick the destination. Is it not the best choice you ever made when you stepped out behind the pew and you went to an altar and you cried out to Jesus to save your soul, and He heard your earnest prayer, and the next thing you know, the burden was lifted and you felt like you could just jump for joy because you was now forgiven of all your sin. He said today, as I come to a close, verse 15 says, they put out of their memory where they came from. You know what's wrong with so many Christians? They hold on to where they came from. The gambling, the drinking, and the carousing. Again, I want to say this morning, and I know this isn't popular preaching, you can't walk with God and the devil at the same time. You're either with Him or you're against Him. But you see, sometimes we like to go back and pick up some things that we laid down by the help of God. Yeah. We're like Achan. Oh, nobody will never know that I got this gold and this silver and this Babylonian garment. Nobody will even know I got them. I have questions for him. Where was you going to spend it? And where was you going to wear it? Because the moment you put it on, everybody's going to know. And although nobody in the world may know about it, there's all seeing eye looking down out of heaven. And He knows about it. And He said, they keep in mind where God brought them from. And if you'll interpret that 15th verse, if they'd had the opportunity, they would have went back to Egypt. Because that's what they said. They said, you brought us out here to die. Let us go back. We'll be slaves. We'll be slaves and we'll be happy there. Well, you was miserable for all those years. God brought you out, and now you want to go back? I know many of you are like me. I've got nothing to go back for. Nothing to go back for. But he said, but now they desire a better country. How many of you desire a better country this morning? That is a heavenly where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And John saw that city coming down out of heaven. And what he described to us, it makes me want to go. I've never seen streets of gold, walls of jasper and gates of pearls. And I got a question for John. Why do you have gates when they're never shut? Because there'll be no unclean thing to walk upon those streets. I want to give you some encouragement this morning as I close. Paul told Timothy that in the last days perilous times shall come. I've preached that. Jim, no doubt you've preached it, and our forefathers preached it for many years. I believe with all my heart on this Sunday morning in 2020, we are on the verge of living in a day like never has been before. It wouldn't surprise me that any Sunday we come to church, some protests will be out there and try to hinder us from coming into this building. And I prayed about this, but God laid on my heart. So I'm going to say it. And some of you can say, I denounce you as my pastor for saying such a thing. But some of you that's got concealed carry license, carry. And you say, why would you say that? We have a responsibility to protect that which God has given to us. And if I don't change my mind, I'm going to get me a CCL. And you say, oh, a gun-toting pastor. I won't be the first one. Right? You go back to the cowboy and Indian days. There was preachers and pastors preaching the gospel with one hand and the gun on the hip just in case somebody wanted to get violent. Amen? You say, Roger, you think it's really going to come to that? Look what's happened already. And while we're pilgrims and strangers, God wants us to enjoy while we're here. But you know where my greatest joy comes? Is in the side of these four walls that we call Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church. Because when I'm in here, I've got brothers and sisters I know that are praying for me. While I'm in here, I can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Have you felt Him this morning? And nothing speaks sweet peace to my soul like the Spirit of God. I was listening to some programs this morning on the TV, and Becky said, why in the world do you listen to that? They were church programs. And it does is give me an affirmation that the church, or so-called churches, have lost their calling. They've lost their preaching. They've lost keeping God in the center of the wheel. And you say, Roger, that you ought not throw stones. If they're trying to do good, just go ahead and let them be. Well, I think we ought to call a sheep a sheep and a goat a goat. And many of our people are being misled. They're not truly. Yeah, you talk about, I want to go to heaven. But yet, if you really wanted to go there, you'd make a change in your life, would you not? Or they say, I am a religious person. Well, God bless your little heart. That'll take you to hell just like the vilest of sinners. You don't need religion. You need salvation by the grace of God. And church, although, as Robin Sharon gets us a song, and I got to hush, but although it is depressing How many of you got depressed this week? And got angry. You got frustrated. Or you may have been vindictive. You know, when I see these attacking innocent people and punching them in the back of the head and punching them in their torso, there's a part of me that flares up and says, if that was my loved one and I could get my hands on them. You say, now, Roger, you're about to lose it. Jesus said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. That's when they was coming against him for preaching the gospel and standing on the word of God. Go back and read it. But when they come against us to try to hurt one of our loved ones, how many of you are like a baney rooster? Your feathers going to get ruffled and you're going to jump in and try to stop it. Right? You can hit me all you want, but don't touch my kids. Don't touch my grandkids. Oh, I don't have a gun, but I can borrow one. And you say, oh, he's so sweet, and then he acts like he's so mean. I'm sweet when the Holy Spirit comes by, but when when the worldly spirit comes by, I can get as mean as anybody else. Amen. I don't want to hurt anybody. Becky says I'm too passive. I say, if I wasn't, no telling where I'd be at right now. Amen. But I want to encourage you this morning. Although all these things are happening, don't lose sight of whose you are and where you're going. You're just a pilgrim in a strange land. But you're heading home. I want to leave this last scripture with you, then we'll close. When they was going through that land, you know, God's servant made a deal. He said, you tell them we won't touch anything on the left hand. We won't touch anything on the right. We're just going to pass through. That scripture, right? You know what we need to do sometimes? If we have an urge to reach out, we need to cross our arms and our hands. Or put them behind you so that you don't touch the things of this world. You say, there's nothing wrong with me touching the things of this world. It'll cost you your relationship with God. We're living in a bad time right now. I don't know if God will speak to his people and get his people to come back to him. Or if God will just say, you know, go back and read Numbers and Deuteronomy. You know what God told them there? If you do these things that I've told you not to, you're going to be prisoners of the land. Your sons is going to marry the strange women. Your daughters are going to marry the strange men. And there'll be pestilence come upon you. What are we in right now? One of the biggest man-made pestilence that we have ever seen as a world. And you know what? It come from China. But if you followed the news, some of it was made in our own country. You know what I say? That's treason. And they ought to be tried and put away for treasonous acts against our own country. And not them, but just them, but take some of these politicians with you. Amen. I said I'm going to close, Timbo. I just can't. But let me give you a final warning. And then, Robbie, you're going to sing us a song, because you say, well, what kind of invitation are we going to have? Lord, help me keep my eyes on my destination. And I will say this in my closing. I think I've said it three times. That's usually what I do. I don't know why, Robbie. But I believe with all my heart, and they may not want to put this out on the airways, but that's all right. I believe with all my heart God put Donald Trump where he's at today. or we would be even in worse state. And come November, if this country reverts back to the Democrat Party, we ain't seen nothing yet. You say, Roger, I'm a Democrat. Don't talk like that. I'm registered Democrat. I've never really voted that way. I've always voted for the person that was best at the time. And if God willing and I'm still alive come November, I don't vote for murderous parties. Kill our babies. We're worried about a coronavirus while we're still killing thousands upon thousands of innocent children. And in New York this past week, they celebrated that even at the time of delivery, a child can be killed. Yeah. And we say, how much worse can it get? How many of y'all remember your parents or grandparents saying that? How much worse can it get? Don't ask it, because the devil might just take it as a challenge. You say, Roger, do you really have our best at heart? Don't take your eyes off the destination. We're pilgrims and strangers. This world is not ours. And people say, well, when God comes and bulldozes this land off and makes it the perfect kingdom, folks, and I don't want to fall out with you this morning, but let me tell you, he's already got a kingdom waiting on us over in glory land that is better than anything this old world could ever be. Amen? Now, if he brings us back where he goes, I will go. Right? I don't care where I'm at as long as I'm with him. But I don't believe I'll be coming back, because he says we will be caught up in the air to meet him, and we shall be changed in the moment and the twinkling of an eye, and so shall we ever be. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Would you stand while they sing? I've preached out. Keep your eyes on the destination. Don't lose sight of whose you are and where you're going. Don't lose sight of it. Don't stop praying, because God has put a hedge around about you to protect you today. Yes. That's enough, Robbie. Can I say this morning? I don't care what your skin color is. It don't bother me at all. Y'all know, when some of you know, when I was in North Carolina, the 18 months that I was there at Raleigh on Thursday nights, most Thursday nights, I went to a church that was a black church. On some Wednesday nights, I was the only white person in the building. But I didn't let that stop me from enjoying the service. They didn't worship like we worship. You know it as well as I do. They have different tastes for music. They have different tastes for the way they sing and talk and act. But I enjoyed the service. And I was the only piece of white bread in the whole building. The only one. But when we get to heaven, there's not going to be a black section and a white section, a Latino section. It's going to be one people, which are called by his name and been saved by the grace of God. And not all black people are bad. Not all white people are bad. I know some of every color that I wouldn't give you 2 cents for. And there's others that they're just like you are and I am. But you know what the devil comes to do? Bring division. Bring division. And, you know, if this message was out on the airwaves, I may have protesters around our house. because they wouldn't want to hear it. But have I preached you the truth this morning? Have I said anything that really should be offensive to anybody? But you know, the devil can take something small and innocent and turn it around. Look what he did to Adam and Eve. He'll turn it around to suit his benefit. I've enjoyed being with you this morning. I thank God for each and every one of you. Jim and Lane being with us. I called him Jimbo, I think, when I was preaching. Y'all know what I was talking about. Sometimes I get carried away and I'm liable to call you anybody. Sometimes I can't even remember my own name. Amen. Or remember what I was doing and why I was there. But then God brings me back to my right mind. Amen. Remember us as we travel. Going to a sad situation. A man 57 years old. Abused alcohol and drugs. And not just drugs, but prescriptions. You know, our country is in an epidemic of prescription abuse. These things are not new, folks. But pray for us. Would you do that and pray for the family? I know, God help me today. I know I'll hear how wonderful of a person he was. And he did have a great personality. But a great personality don't get you there. You got to have a great Savior. And oh, what a Savior we have today. God bless you. I'll hush. Fellowship, if you can, bump elbows or whatever you feel comfortable with, and be praying about Wednesday night. I really think that, and I've had some input, that we ought to looking at our Wednesday night service, and maybe the first week of August. Depends on what happens with this corona. You know, the hospital today has more than they've ever had with positive, and more that's on ventilators than they've had. And, you know, I read things about churches having all services that act like nothing ever happened. And I say, well, I'll pray for you, but I'm still concerned, aren't you? Coronavirus is real. It's real. And we better protect ourselves. So God bless you. Have a great day. Y'all going to be up for a while, or you heading back? Heading back tonight. So be careful in your travels. God watch over them. And don't forget the offering plate back there. And if you want a copy of the financial, see Brother Ron. God bless you today is my prayer.